Okay.
Okay, got it. All right. So today is Thursday, September 12th, and it is 4:04, and I'd like to bring the Environmental Services Advisory Committee meeting to order. Item one, roll call, and I'll go down the list. Fred Ariza,
Here.
Doug Jennings,
Here.
Trevor Ledbetter,
Here.
Susanna Shippers,
Here.
Brian Thomas,
Here.
and Chris Yarder, here.
And I'm here.
And Margo, I'm sorry. Yes, you are. I have it right here. Before we start with the director's report, I just wanted to tell you that I sent an email to the city manager, and I said, I'm emailing you because our City of Tucson boards and commissions are all really hurting for appointments from you and mayor and council. And when I was introducing you at our TRIG membership event on June 1st, I mentioned to you that City of Tucson's BCCs have over 700 vacant positions, and far too many are unable to make quorum. So, anyways, I went on and on and on. But what I proposed to them was to go to the county site and under boards and commissions, committees, information, and membership, the county says members shall serve until reappointed or replaced. Instead of the, they kick you off after 8 years, finally when you think you know something about what's going on. So he said he'd get right on it and, CC city clerk's office and stuff. So I'm hoping that we can do that. So I think Ryan and I are due to be kicked off the end of the year or in January. So anyhow,
And
okay.
Chris, to add to that, we do have a nomination. We're just waiting for it to go to mayor and council. So, and for that to be approved by the CMO office. So,
What office?
the CMO office.
City managers.
Oh, good. Another one, because he has like six
Oh, okay.
appointments for ESAC, because
Well,
we're supposed to have a total of 13
13.
roles.
Right. So,
Good.
so we are waiting for that to be processed. So fingers crossed that we've been they submitted their application a month or so ago during July.
Okay. Well, that's all right. That sounds encouraging. So I might have guilt tripped the city manager. All right. Okay, let's move on. Frank Benias is going to give us the director's report, go through the Chapter 15 rates, and then the ADEQ proposed solid waste fees. So you're on, Frank.
Okay. The first item, which is Chapter 15 rates, just want to update or provide information to the members that the department is planning to submit revisions for Chapter 15, which are our fees. And so we are working to putting all that information together to provide an update to CMO office, and he will update or provide the information to mayor and council. So what we're looking at is not necessarily the gate rate, but we're looking at updating our fees, most of our fees that relate to commercial rates for APCs or metal roll-offs. The landfill rates that haven't been looked at for quite an extensive period of time, which would include, for example, the rates that we charge for tires when people bring in tires, our special handling fees, the fee that we charge for refrigerators. We're also proposing to include a clean green waste fee so that we can accomplish more green waste diversion. The uncovered load fee, also looking at increasing that, and the Pima County resident HSW fee. So all of these fees haven't been updated for quite some time. And so we're looking at, and we're not even recovering our costs at this point. So we're looking at cost recovery. Part of the increase is also because, and that's next that I'm going to talk about the ADEQ proposed fees, is that those fees are going to be increasing and will impact our operation and our fees that we're charging the public or the customers here at the landfill.
Do you
Any
know how much they're going to increase?
Well, we don't have all those final numbers yet. Haven't decided, haven't actually committed to what those are going to be. Carlos is still reviewing all that information, and so that he will submit that to the city manager. But they will be, we will have the redlined document, the Chapter 15. And along with this, there are certain typos and updates that need to be made to the text of Chapter 50, not just the fees. Or
How
just up.
much money do you think you'll recover overall?
Again, I don't have those total numbers. If you mean by each line item or.
No, total. Are you looking at adding 1 million, 2 million, 500,000? Like what number?
For revenues, we haven't gone that far yet to do that, to get that total. And those will be based on, and if we do something like that, it's going to be based on more than likely previous fiscal year, just to get an estimation of how the impact is going to be moving forward.
Any more questions for Frank?
Where did the idea come from that we needed to increase these fees?
Well, because we've actually been looking at increasing these fees for quite some time. Last year, we started working on evaluating what those fees and if they actually needed increasing based on the cost of service of what it takes for us to actually provide that service. And that's we went through. As far here in the lab, we went through and we did those calculations and we looked at what we're charging for example, for a tire. Right now we're charging $2 a tire. And so for disposal, for us to receive it, for our staff to handle it, manage it, and then also dispose of it at CRM, which is Crumb Rubber Modified. So we took all those expenses and then, and based on, for example, total of tires that we received in a month or for the fiscal year. And so we determined we're not recovering all of our costs.
Any other questions for Frank?
And part of that, I just add that part of that is because we haven't actually updated these fees for quite a long time. And there are increases in costs.
When you say covering your cost, is that just the operational cost, or is that cell development and operation cost? Or do you amortize your cell development over the life of the landfill, do you know?
Over the cell development. No, it does not include any of that. It does not include the cell development.
So it's just your day-to-day operational cost.
Correct. It's just the
I see.
operational handling cost management here.
Yeah.
those.
How long ago was the last increase? Like 5, 6 years ago?
For the landfill, it's been more than that. I can't remember. I was here in 2014, and we still have the same rates.
Oh, yeah. We're way behind the curve then. Okay, thanks.
Frank, will there be any, you mentioned that there would be a clean green waste fee, I think. Will there be other fees now associated with organic waste, or what will that look like?
Those, I believe that those are also being looked at on not at the landfill site, but for on the collection side, for example, the food cycle program and the APCs when we pick up waste from all the customers that are in that program. I'm not involved in those calculations. I'd have to look and see if any of those are increasing. But for commercial pickups, there are being some proposed increases on that.
Somewhat increases.
There will be some proposed increases
Okay.
for commercial waste collection,
Gotcha.
APCs and the metal containers.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, shall we move on? Let's go to item three. The U of A proposed
Let
cap
me,
IGA.
Chris, let me just, I don't think I touched yet on the proposed solid waste fees.
Oh,
All
okay.
right.
I'm sorry. I thought that was part of the fees thing. Sorry. Go.
So having said that, with the Chapter 15 increases or proposed increases that we're looking at, ADEQ is right now proposing to increase the solid waste fees across the state. So those will impact our operations, specifically here at the landfill, because most of those fees are affecting our operations. And those are being proposed to be take effect on January 2025. Landfills and municipalities across the state have pushed back to ADEQ. Especially because they're implementing this in the middle of the fiscal year and without any notice and without the opportunity for municipalities to be able to include the fee increases into our budget process. So there's been some pushback. ADEQ has, after they've held all these meetings, they've actually decided to, it's still going to be implemented in, January, although the fees are not going to be billed until July, which is the beginning of the next fiscal year. And so then we'll have to budget that the increase coming after June 30th or July 1st of 2025. And just to give you a little bit of update on how those are going to impact us, and I can share my screen. Can I share my screen, Brittany?
Yeah, let me make you a co-host.
And
Okay.
I'm not very familiar with Zoom. Where do I find this?
It should be on the bottom with a green arrow up
There we
pointing.
go. It's right in front of me. Am I sharing at that point? It doesn't look like it is.
You're gonna have to select which screen. Oh, there, it's coming in. Oh, you're sharing. Oh, there we are. Perfect.
Okay. So this is a table on the rulemaking that ADEQ is proposing, and the highlighted yellow here that you see is, are the ones that are affecting us here at the city of Tucson. This is the normally the annual fee that we pay to allow us to operate, which is 12,500. But that's increasing to 20,000 a year. So that's almost like a 60% increase.
Could you increase the size of the print so I could see it better, Frank?
Yeah, let me see if I. No, 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 no. Is that a little better?
Yeah, that's
Yes.
great.
Okay.
I was going to just break up my Grail program.
Okay. That's one fee. And so this one is not, of course, it's increasing. It's not such a big impact. Another fee that's going to increase is when we do, when we have to submit any kind of, so this is the annual review for the financial responsibility. Every year we have to submit the financial assurance to the state. That's increasing slightly. It's going from 600 to 891. And then there's another one. When we have to do modifications, from time to time, we have to do a modification to our permit, and we would submit that. Normally, it was a $750 flat fee. We usually do a Type 3 modification. You see that here. And that's going to increase to 700 to up to $111,000. And that's if it's a complicated modification where ADEQ has to put a lot of staff time in reviewing. Instead of being a flat fee, it's going to be, it's rated by the amount of time and effort that ADEQ puts into it. But the biggest impact is this one here that you see our tonnage rate. Currently, we pay 25 cents for each ton of waste that comes into the landfill. And that's going to increase to 58 cents per ton. That's a $132 increase. And just to give you an idea of what that's going to be, the second quarter that we submitted a few weeks ago, that was 196,000, roughly 196,000 tons that came in. So our invoice or what we paid ADEQ was $49,137 for the second quarter. The new fee for the same amount of tonnage will increase to $113,000. So the annual impact is going to be almost 438,000, so close to half a million dollar increase. So that is significant, which is partly why we push back as well with ADEQ as to when they were going to start implementing those increases. And the reason ADEQ is increasing their fees is because they are trying to recover the cost of running their solid waste program.
Frank, when you say they're trying to recover the cost of running their solid waste program, what do their costs entail? What do they do?
So their costs are mostly staff time at ADEQ when they have to review permits, if they have to do any, if we request any revisions to our permits or our solid waste facility plan. As you can see, am I still sharing? Yeah. So if somebody submits a new plan, then they look at that, or a new landfill, for example, or a new transfer station, then they have to review those applications. So it's mostly staff time to do all these reviews. The fee that I'm talking about, the 25 cents that goes to 58 cents, in the statute, what that fee is supposed to go into a special fund that is then used for solid waste recycling
Mark.
grant.
Yeah.
Right. The recycling grant program. So that 25 cents per ton goes into there. Now it's going to be 58 cents per ton. So essentially, some of that is going to go back into the community, into municipalities or nonprofits that apply for grants when that grant program is available.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Any additional questions?
Any other questions? Well, was this a bombshell? Did you just have any idea this was going to happen, or?
No, this started, I want to say, about 6 months ago.
Okay.
So it wasn't something that had been planned for some time, but it's
Okay.
something that we are working through, and we've been attending the meetings, the public meetings that ADEQ has been holding. And they've been taking back some feedback. So that's why I said that they have changed the implementation, not necessarily implementation date, but in charging municipalities, starting to charge the additional fees, which kind of going to be, even though it's being implemented in January, we're not going to see the fees until July 1st.
How often do they do this increase, Frank? Is this a cyclical thing, or is it something that they do based on their findings at a particular time?
Well, this hasn't happened for quite some time where these fees have been increased like this. So it's not on a regular cycle, and it probably started with the ADEQ with their budget process. And knowing that they needed to recover and needed to be self-sufficient. We do have a new governor. You know that? Or a new director for ADQ.
Okay. I mean, well, that's a little depressing, but thank you. You're not responsible. All right. Let's move on to item three for the U of A Compost Cats IGA. You're doing that, Frank?
I am doing that too.
Okay.
I don't have too much information. We, in October, the revised IGA with the U of A Compost Cats is going to Mayor and Council. And my understanding from it, because I haven't been that involved in it, and Trevor might actually know a little more if he wants to talk about it. But the major change is that Compost Cats, the bucket program, is becoming or going to be absorbed into the city's food cycle at home program. There might be some additional smaller changes, but that is one of the major changes, I believe. And Trevor, if you have any information on it, you're welcome to talk about that.
Sure, happy to chime in. That is the most significant change. Everything that Compost Cats has previously done in partnership with the City of Tucson when it comes to the food cycle program, the commercial side of things will remain unchanged. We're going to continue providing onboarding, outreach, auditing, everything that our student employees have been doing for the last several years. And the most significant change is that integration of the bucket program and the food cycle at home program. The bucket program we started up back in 2021, and is something that we had a lot of success with. We did have to monetize the program shortly after we started it, just because we have to pay student employees to do a lot of the work that they were doing. And it's not something that we were breaking even on, but charging $12 a month for community members and for staff and faculty at the university, not for students either at PCC or at the U of A. $12 a month is a little bit prohibitory for a lot of folks to be able to participate. And with Food Cycle at Home being a free program, we were already seeing a lot of conflict between the two programs. There's pretty clear writing on the wall when you have a paid program and an unpaid program competing in a relatively limited or small space. So, getting ahead of what that could look like for us, I started having conversations with Carlos back in the middle of is probably March or April. And we've come to sort of a consensus on what that integration looks like and what all of the things that need to happen will look like. So.
Okay, so we don't know. Brittany, will you give us a heads up when it goes to mayor and council?
Yes, or I will let I'll ask staff to let me know, because I don't I'm not involved in uploading those documents anymore, so yes.
Okay, because a lot of times ESAC would recommend which way to go on those sort of agreements, but I know we don't have any real say, but just in terms of supporting.
Yes, I'll email staff and remind them to tell me. Yep.
Okay.
And I'll just add the bucket program currently has around 600 to 650 participants. Again, not all of them are paying a monthly fee just because we do have quite a few students involved. But we actually demonetized our program at the beginning of July in order to make this switch and integration with the Food Cycle at Home program a little bit more straightforward on our end because 600 people paying some amount of money becomes a logistical nightmare. And so when we integrate the two programs, Food Cycle at Home, I think we're right around 800 or 900, but we should be north of 1500 participants once we complete that integration and have both running. So.
Okay, that's good news. Any questions from anyone?
How did the students feel about integrating in with the city?
So the bucket program is a little bit more hands-on than Food Cycle at Home is. For those who aren't aware of the bucket program, you receive a sealed bucket, either a 2 gallon or a 5 gallon bucket, and it's airtight, so you can leave it inside. All of us know that even the best of us will leave compost out sometimes, and you get fruit flies or you get some smells. And once you fill up your bucket, you then take it to one of our 3 manned sites at specific times throughout the week. And you can weigh your compost so you know how much you're diverting. And we track that. And then you dump it out, and we take a look at what you have and give guidance on what, if you're composting something or trying to compost something that you shouldn't be, whether it's produce stickers or non-compostable bags, that sort of a thing, you get some hands-on guidance. And so it's just a lot more hands-on and in person. And inevitably, you also build a community with folks who are dropping off every week or every other week. And so, that aspect, because Food Cycle at Home is basically drop it whenever you would like, is going by the wayside. There will still be an auditing component, but it'll be sort of off cycle. And so I think just that component, there's been, some concern around that because it's students don't get to interact with community members nearly as frequently as within the bucket program. But we also recognize that if we're going to scale composting, residential composting in a way that is sustainable, and also minimizes contamination, the long-term most accessible and also equitable way to do that is through a program like Food Cycle at Home.
Maybe they would help with giving classes.
Yes, and so what Jose and Christina and other folks have been doing at Environmental Services with those weekly or twice weekly classes, Compost Cats will be largely, probably not entirely, sort of taking on to help provide support to the city of Tucson with that. So we will still be taking on that component, And there will still be some in-person stuff. It's just a lot less than what the bucket program is.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad to hear that they'll still be coming and doing something. All right. Okay, let's move on to item four, the food cycle organics update. That's you, Frank, right?
Yes, so we're actually going to postpone this one.
Okay.
Lisa is out on leave, and she was going to give a presentation on the food cycle program,
All
food
right.
cycle program, and so we'll put this one off to the next meeting.
Okay. No problem. All right. So let's move on to item five for the landfill gas to energy project.
And definitely, I can talk about that one too.
I know.
I may have mentioned in the past, I don't remember, but we are in the procurement process right now. We are in the landfill gas to energy project. Just to give you a little bit of update, what we put out there as far as an RFP is for a developer to come in and built and operate a landfill gas to energy project from using our landfill gas, refining it, cleaning it up to pipeline quality CNG or renewable natural gas. It would be injected into one of the regional pipelines, either Southwest Gas or the Kinder Morgan pipeline. Then that gas would be sold in the open market to users of RNG, and it would also generate RINs, what are renewable index numbers, which can also be sold to big companies, for example, the refineries that need to buy some of these credits. They're kind of like credits, energy credits, and so that would also bring revenue to the city. So not only selling the RNG or turning our landfill gas into RNG, but also the RINs. We are working right now with one of the companies that submitted a proposal. We haven't received their proposal yet, and they requested an additional 60 days. They actually requested 90 days. We only gave them 60 days to submit their actual proposal. And so we're waiting. Once they submit their proposal, we don't have a contract yet. Then we'll be able to move into the next step to issue the contract and then have them start the full design. And then at then after the design, the construction and development of the RNG facility here on site. So I'm not going to share who it is yet at this point, because we're still in the procurement process, but we are working towards that goal. If that company is not able to submit their proposal, then we'll move on to the next one. We have three final companies that we can work with.
Okay.
So that if we get a contract with this one, then we move forward and basically close the selection process, the procurement process, and then all that information is going to be announced.
Any questions? That's good news.
I think Fred's talking, but he's on mute.
How long does the whole thing take, the process take to when you once you get a company there to say they're interested in the program to actually go through what kind of procedure do they have to go through in order to fulfill all your needs and wants?
By the are you talking about the contract process, or once we issue a contract for them to build the facility and
How
have it
about
operate?
both? Because
Okay.
I'm kind of curious as how long this whole process takes.
Well, it's been taking a lot longer than we'd like. We started this process definitely over a year ago when we put out the procurement process. And then at this point that we've been working with this company, it's been at least 3 months back. So we were expecting to have the proposal in, review the proposal. We figure that would take us maybe about 4 to 6 weeks, with any back and forth or any comments and maybe the revisions that would need to be made. Then we've got the contract negotiation, and so we have somebody in the city attorney's office, one of the attorneys that's going to work on that contract, to getting that contract, because it's a complicated process and a complicated contract. So we figure that's going to take another anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks to get finalized. Then it goes through the normal process where it's going to have to go to mayor and council for final approval. And so there's certain steps and there's certain some time that we still at this point have to look forward to before the contract is actually executed. And then the company would basically at that point, once that happens, then they have 36 months to build it and develop it and get it operational.
You said 36 months or 326?
36.
36.
36.
So 3 years.
3 years. We're hoping it's going to be more like 18 to 24 months, but realistically, it might take you up to 36.
Okay. Will Environmental Services be paying, or will the amount of revenue generated from the sale of the natural gas plus the renewable index credits cover things?
So I think you're talking about will we pay the developer for the facility, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that is key. One of the key components is that we have three proposals that were submitted, and they were all different. The one that we're negotiating right now is that their initial proposal is that they were going to put up the capital and develop it, market the gas, refine it, and then market it, and pay the city a royalty. And so the city, with this contractor, if everything goes fine, the way they initially present it, then the city would, EGSC would not have to put up any capital. That's kind of the path we're on right now. If that changes, then we might have to look at it in a different way.
Gotcha.
But the company would put up the capital, which is different from Bifusion, where we're putting up the capital.
Correct.
I'm just telling my dogs to go outside. Sorry. Started barking. All right. Thanks, Frank. That's a lot. Maggie, you're going to help us out with item six, the financial monthly report.
I sure am. Good afternoon, everyone. One thing I just wanted to say before I get started is next month I'm going to be on vacation during your regular ESAC meeting. I will prepare the reports so you will be able to review them. Would you like me to ask one of my colleagues to present the reports for you, or can you live without me for 1 month?
No, that's a hard decision.
I also want to mention before you make a decision on that, Carlos is also not here next month.
Whoa, okay.
So, normally, if Maggie was not here, he would present the report on her behalf. So I just want to also mention that.
I guess it
I just
depends.
didn't know what the practice was, and I'm happy to make other arrangements for someone to present that if that is your preference.
I think it depends on where you go on vacation.
I'm I'm going to Burgundy in France.
Oh,
Wow. Yeah.
then no, I don't think you need to be here.
Thank you.
I don't think you need to worry about it. You've walked us through these before, so we can actually read and probably figure it out ourselves.
I think you guys
Okay.
have been looking at environmental services financial data longer than I have in many cases. So, okay, so I am going to start with the program report. I'm going to share my screen. Okay, I think the monitor says you can see. So I think you can see this report, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. So we are at $5.1 million as of September 3rd, when I did when I pulled this data for the entire fund, Fund 502. We haven't one thing that hasn't posted here is July, August, and September. We have about $1 million a month in what are called central service costs that come from the general fund, reflecting the costs of fleet services, facilities, business services, human resources, those types of central charges from our support departments. That hits this fund, and it is a little over $1 million every month. So this number is more, should be, they were delayed in posting those transactions. So it's more like $3.1 million. I did get some good news finalized that we had been having charges into the fund in the prior fiscal year and starting in this fiscal year for personnel costs from human resources and from business services department. I was able to move all of those off. Last fiscal year, they did not post to the fund. Some have posted to the fund this year, but they are going to be moved off, and we've turned that off because, of course, they are captured in that central service cost rate, that $1 million that I mentioned before. So that was actually an overcharge. So I had to work with my colleagues in the budget office to get that to stop, and we've just finally succeeded in stopping it. I'm going to move the couple months of this fiscal year worth of those costs off the fund. So we won't be seeing that anymore. That's going to fall off. But based on our spending so far, it could be a little delayed just with the beginning of the fiscal year getting invoices in. But I think we're right on track for where we were at. We have $71.8 million in budget for this year. And I'm just going to go now to the fund, report to for capital outlay. I just wanted to talk about the vehicles we and large equipment. We just received two large pieces of equipment out at the landfill, and those we'll see that in the next report. And I do know that we have some collections vehicles that are coming our way. So we'll be looking at this $7 million that we have in our budget for capital outlay. Right now, the actuals as of the third were zero, but that number's go we're going to start seeing that number change. Same with the capital projects. The activities out at Los Reales are ramping up. As of September 3rd, I had $4,900 in capital project expenditures. We're going to start seeing that creep up as well. And we have $7.9 million in our budget for capital projects for fiscal year 25. In terms of our collections, so far as of September 3rd, which really just reflects the first 2 months, we had $12.4 million collected. And if I just kind of straight line that out to the end of the year, we're going to be well within what we expected for what we had budgeted in terms of expectations for what we were going to collect for fiscal year 25. And I think that is the extent of the news that I have. One thing to let you know is that right now the billings for the department run through a system called Navaline, and the Navaline system manages the billings on, you know, on our Tucson water bill, where we have the trash, the sewer from Pima County, and the Tucson water bill broken out. And then also the, some of the landfill charges also run through Navaline, and then they post to this fund. That system, we are working on an upgrade. And it's a year out. I can keep you posted as it goes on, but I'm engaged in a lot more activity around the upgrade, the change from Navaline to a system called IPS. And I don't know what it stands for, but that's what the system is. And that's about a year out for that to go live. And that is, that's the extent of my report. Does anyone have any questions?
After all the problems with the current updates, I bet you're dreading this IPS, this move to IPS.
I think it's just kind of part of the work that I do. I mean, I'm not dreading it, but it's just sort of part of life. We just got through work day, and now we're going to go to another system for the billing system. Really, water takes the lead on that because they manage most of that, and they have the customer service there and the folks who are using the system. And of course, Jude's team in customer support here is very involved. But it's a heavy lift for sure. But the one thing about Navaline is, Ms. Garcia, is that at the end of the fiscal year, when we get reports from Navaline, they're in a really sort of stodgy, hard to use format. It's they're basically like paper documents that we have to take the data from and try to add up manually. So we're really looking forward to having a more modern system where we can get sort of more user-friendly reports and things like that.
Okay, well, I'm glad there's a bright side to it. We were just hearing about the ADEQ fees. Where would that show up in your charts?
If the landfill pays them, they are going to post to here, to Los Reales. So the ones that Frank was calling out, for the solid waste disposal fees, those kinds of things. Those are going to post here. If you were interested in looking at some granularity, of course, the fees haven't gone up yet, but as the fiscal year goes along, we can look at what we paid the state of Arizona to ADEQ last year compared to this year, and we can look at it month over month if you'd like. So once we hear more from Frank, if you're interested in seeing how the fees are changing month to month, we can definitely take a look at that. And I can just add a secondary report where we look at what we've paid to ADEQ as we go along.
Yeah, I think that would be interesting if we want to try to, I mean, I understand the state's predicament. They got a flat tax, which has certainly cut their amount of money. I'm sure they're looking for new fees, but it would be interesting to see again how they're downloading those costs onto the customer, which is us, actually all the people. So, I if it's not too much work, I really would like to see that.
No, it won't. With Workday, I can really pull that kind of data very easily, and I would be happy to do that. But maybe they'll be delayed in implementing these increases. Yeah. I know it'll be off in the future a little bit, but yeah, happy to do that so that you can see the impact to the fund. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions?
And the brush and bulky is where the homeless cleanup is, the funds are being expended. So I see the projected is up to 72, which is pretty much right on line with the adopted budget. So you guys were able to figure out pretty carefully what the upgrade was going to be from the 6 million that it was the previous year.
We were really able to right size this budget based on what we thought it was going to be. We have some additional costs hitting the fund. We have like an MOU or service level agreement with Old Pueblo Community Services, who are also providing homeless camp cleanup. The amount for the Environmental Services Fund in that commitment is approximately $500,000. We built that into the budget. We've just started seeing those bills for this fiscal year coming in. Housing is actually going to pay the first $100,000 of the costs, and then the contribution from the ES fund will kick in. But of course, there's also the staffing costs just on ES staff that are working on homeless camp cleanup, and that's all in, that's right, it all posts here to the Brush and Bulky area or program.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
And have a great vacation.
Thanks very much.
Yes. Have
Thank
a
you.
glass of wine of Burgundy for me if you imbibe in some things.
Okay. Yeah, for all of us.
I
Yes.
will. Thank
Be
you.
safe too.
Yes, thanks very much. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we got lots of interesting things going on. All right, let's move on to item 7. Trevor, did you want to update on our last subcommittee meeting?
Happy
Okay, thanks.
to. So we went through our monthly MRF report. We recently had an audit, which of course changed some things up. There was a lot more trash in this audit, and so that will impact us for the next 4 months. But with the additional trash, we're going to be paying an extra $1.40 extra per ton because of the amount of trash that was in our most recent audit. Beyond that, we did have some short discussion on the update around pizza boxes, that of course we can now accept those, so long as it's not, so long as we don't have half of a pizza or wings or other things. But if it's greasy, it's fine to put in your curbside recycling. On public outreach, we got a few sneak peeks of the new EV truck, and there will hopefully be an EV or a ribbon cutting for that EV truck once it is street ready. We've received it, but it still has to get decals and a whole bunch of other things done to it before it's street ready. We also are still in the process of installing the charging infrastructure for that. And then, of course, we also have to figure out how far it can go, how much it can actually service before it goes into rotation with everything else. In outreach and community events, there will likely be a Bi-Fusion groundbreaking later this month, TBD on what an event might look like. And Christine and her team are working on putting together all of the communications for all of the community outreach events, from the zero waste collection event, hazardous household waste schedule, tree cycle, everything else that goes out in bills over the course of the year. They're working on getting all of that in queue and set up and ready to go. And then they are also working on participating in two trunk or treat events later in October. And of course, we have the landfill tour for the landfill and MRF tour on Halloween. In collections, we have a whole lot of new equipment coming in, and we have a whole lot of new equipment on order. And some of that is getting delivered, and some of that will be delivered by the end of the year. And then lots of new things purchased for delivery next year, but I think still within the same fiscal year. I think one of the most exciting things of the subcommittee meeting that we probably spent the most time on was Environmental Services' new Rubicon software, which gives a whole lot of really cool information. So The collections team can see where all of the collections trucks are within the city of Tucson at any given time. And every single driver is now trained up to be able to indicate if there are any issues in doing a service. So if a gate is locked, if things are overflowing, something like that, the drivers are able to report that, take a photo of that, and it gets sort of stored in the system. And if a homeowner or a business reaches out and is like, "Hey, you didn't service me today," we can look into the Rubicon system, see why, and get things taken care of as needed and as appropriate. And I think one of the more exciting things is because all of our trucks now have cameras, we're also able to look at recycling bins and get photos and be able to look at and respond to contamination and recycling a lot more effectively than we've been able to in the past. So, that's all really cool and exciting. Lots more to come there, I think, as we continue to onboard into Rubicon and really figure out its capabilities, but some really exciting potential. There's also video capabilities. We were able to watch a video of some brush and bulky being taken care of in an alley, and that for the city of Tucson means that we have much better records on whether or not we damaged somebody's fence or did something in an alley that the city may be responsible for or not responsible for if it wasn't our fault. Beyond that, in code enforcement, there is some zoning stuff happening with adult home care facilities. So a lot of that stuff was way over my head. I took some notes, but if anyone wants to chime in on that, feel free. And
Well, just I can just go through a few things.
sure.
Martin Lopez is the new supervisor for code enforcement. If you have problems, you can email him. Let's see, you did do the zoning for the home care. Let's see.
They did also give us an. Oh, go ahead, Fred.
They were talking about how access has been an issue with them because it's hard to determine if they're operating illegally or not. They need to have a certificate of occupancy posted with the posted information for them to everybody to look at when when people enter the property. And they're right now they're lacking the manpower to see if all these homes are in compliance.
And you know, it's one thing that is hard for code enforcement to cover everything. So yeah,
And there's also some additional weird interface with the state as well in some of those cases. We also got an update on fiscal year 24 code case review. A lot of citations already this fiscal year. There are quite a few active still from fiscal year 24, and Chris noted that we still have quite a few from fiscal year 23 that aren't resolved yet either. So a lot of closed, but a lot of unresolved as well. And in that same vein, we are hopefully getting around five more inspectors should everyone accept the position that they've been offered. That would take us up to 13 on that team. And I think it was noted and is quite accurate that we're basically just replacing the folks that are leaving or being pulled into other teams or other needs within code enforcement. So positive to be able to get those folks, but kind of just maintaining at the same number that we've had for quite a while.
Quite a while. And they work hard. They work Saturdays. So hopefully they'll get some people that will stick around. So it's not an easy job, and it requires a lot of training. Okay. Let's move on then to future agenda items. Are there things that you would like to have for discussion next month?
I'm happy to do it in the waste diversion subcommittee. However, I do have final numbers for our dorm move out stuff way back in May.
Oh, okay. So you want us to cover you for the next ESAC meeting?
Yeah, I'm happy to do it here. I'm also happy to do it in waste diversion, wherever makes the most sense, but I did finally get those numbers yesterday.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Good. So and
Do we have any brownfields that are actively underway or
right.
any brownfield cleanups? We haven't heard about the brownfields in a while, so.
I'm not sure what those are.
Those are areas that have had contamination, for instance, under an old gas station where the
Oh.
gas tanks leaked, and that creates contaminated soils. And so before it can be built on, that soil has to be removed or remediated on site. And that's considered a brownfield. And we've had a lot of them, not only just old gas stations, which is one of the worst, but also from a variety of companies. Actually, one of the worst ones is under the railroad, as you can imagine, both from spills and from their operations.
Okay.
And with
What's the one
groundwater being
by
so
a
important to
mountain?
us.
Which is the one over by a mountain? The city one. Frank has been telling us about.
Yeah. There was one that was in the process that was also not just volatile organics, but also I think was some nickel and lithium contamination, if I remember correctly.
Okay. So there are always
So I think would be where they are, what projects are ongoing.
Do you want a brownfields update at full ESAC or waste diversion?
Yes, I think full USAC because it is a larger program and probably just needs to be people refreshed what it is and
Okay.
how it works.
Okay. Anyone else? No.
What about if there's anything going on with the Kinder Morgan cleanup along
Yeah,
Silver
Silver
Bell?
Bell.
We haven't heard anything from that.
The pump and treat, how that's working.
Oh.
You can see it's in the budget. If you look at the numbers there, it's specifically called out Silver Bell. All right.
And how about that full ESAC or waste diversion?
Oh, well, might as well add that to the full ESAC, shouldn't we?
Okay.
We're going to do the brown fields.
Right. Yeah, it kind of coincides with that. Yes.
Yeah.
All righty. So for waste diversion, I have the U of A dorm move out, or office sustainability update. Full ESAC, brownfields update, and then the Silver Bell Kinder Morgan update.
Yes.
And then whatever other staff items.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
I
that's
think
good.
we should have a continuing update on the waste to energy that were the landfill gas to energy projects so that, it's gone awfully slow. I mean, we said a few years, but actually it's been ever since the gas TEP said they didn't want the gas anymore,
A long time.
which is I think 5 to 6 to 7 years ago. So it's been a long, long, very slow process.
Yeah, I've been flaming that for a long time.
Could we do that maybe a quarterly update? Just because I just because right now it's through the procurement process, and then there's gonna do the design to construct meetings. Updates may be slow starting off.
Yeah, quarterly is what, every 3 months. That's
Yeah,
probably
that
accurate.
works.
The thing is to, see that it
Right.
keeps
Start getting
moving and
more of a
doesn't get
regular
lost.
update.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big project. Okay. This was a very good informative meeting. Let's move on. Called I audience. That no one's here, and item 10, adjournment. So, what time is it? 5:09. So we're getting out of here early. So thank you everyone for showing up,
Thank
and the
you.
next
Thank you,
one.
Chris. Thanks,
Thank
everyone.
you.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Bye now.
You
You
too.
too.
Bye.
Bye.